So I don't know what that means. Probably doesn't mean anything. But I've got a heart that is just reaching for those who have a need. Does anyone in this auditorium have a need that you've been grappling with, that you've been wrestling with, that you've been, and it's not materialized yet? Would you just raise your hand? Anybody here, you got a need. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his purpose, according to his glory, riches and glory by Christ Jesus. It may not come today. It may not come tomorrow evening. But hold fast without wavering, for he is faithful that has called you. Somebody come up with a song some years ago. The sun's coming up in the morning. Whether your problems are solved or not, the sun's going to crack the dawn. Life is going to go on. Now, you can go on living or you can drop out. But I'm not dropping out. I might get kicked out, but I'm not dropping out. We shall overcome. I want to talk to you from the book of Judges, chapter 16, verse 21 through 28. What I'm dealing with is Samson and the church. Father, my heart throbs with the cry of heaven for the needs of the people, for the blessings of the people. I pray that today will be profitable to your kingdom, that souls would be added to the roll books of heaven, souls would be strengthened by the power of your Holy Ghost. Our eyes would be able to be shifted off of personalities and placed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, for it's in him that we do live and move and have our being. Convict sinners. Convince people of their ways. Help the day be for the glory of God. And we'll praise you. Amen. But the Philistines took him. The him is Samson. The Philistines are the ones that should not have any capability. It's all blurred. It's all upside down. He had spent his life taking the Philistines. Hello, church. He could kill 1,000. He was mighty. But the Philistines took him. Now, I want you to think about the history of the church. It's been an up and down scenario. Not a local church. I'm talking about the church. There have been decades when the church was on the mountaintop. There have been decades when the valley came. But there's hardly ever been a time when there was consistency in the history of the church. There have been times that the church took the Philistines and carried them into oblivion. But there also have been times that the Philistines came in and took the church captive at their own will. God help us if we are so puny that the devil can take us and capture us at his own will. Play with us like a cat plays with a mouse. Taunting us. Mocking us. Where is your God? If your God was on the throne, your house wouldn't have got burned. You wouldn't have had the cancer. He debates with you. He challenges you. Let's not let him get away with it. Let's rise up and say, though we don't see the sun rise right now, it will rise. Though we don't see the end of the journey right now, we will see it. Because we've read how you're going to be treated, mister. We've read your end. We've read your... No debate about it. No ifs, ands, and buts. There's no choice. We know how you're going to end up. You're going to end up in the lake of fire. We're tormented day and night forever and ever. We're not going to end up there because we have an opportunity. We have a privilege. We can take it. It's up to you whether you take that privilege or not. God does not stand with a rolling pin in his hand and saying, I'm going to make you be a Christian. God stretches his hands out and said, I give you the privilege of being a Christian. I give you the opportunity of being a Christian. Won't you take it? You're a fool not to take it. I looked in Webster. I'm not good with words. I love to know what words mean. I looked in Webster's to see the definition of fool. One word, Mr. Webster puts, one word, stupidity. You know what that tells me? The fool has said in his heart, the stupid man has said in his heart, there is no God. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all those that forget God. The Philistines took him. The devil messes with the church, and we tolerate it. We put up with it. And they put out his eyes. They know where to cripple. They know the exact means and methods to hinder this great hero. And before I go any further, let me remind you, when you read in Hebrews chapter 11 of God's New Testament, Old Testament heroes, you will find Mr. Samson there. You will not find Mr. Solomon there. You will not find others in the Old Testament annals, but Samson was there with all of his mess. They put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza. Number two, they bound him with fetters of brass. They'd already seen that ropes wouldn't hold him, and so they put brass chains on him. And he did grind in the prison house. Where are you going this Sunday afternoon? Well, my wife and I and the kids, we're going to take a little, we're going to ride around. Where are you going to go? Well, we want to ride by that prison where that Superman is. We want to laugh at him. Where are you going this afternoon? Well, we're going to ride by the Alleghany Church of God to see if they still got some cars on the parking lot. We're going to peep in the window and see if they're still cutting fool like they used to. We're going to examine. No. Don't worry about us. Don't pass judgment. Don't preach our funeral yet. Don't call the obituary. Don't call the pallbearer yet. We are not going to be buried. Surprise? Because when you long are buried, your nose has no longer got skin on it or flesh on it, just a piece of gristle staring up at the heavens. The church is still going to be going on. I've lost some of y'all. Somewhere I've got too much for you. Am I talking to you? See, the devil would love to put a period after grinding the prison house. But God has resurrecting, restoring power. That worked for Samson earlier is going to work for him again. Am I talking to you? Howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. You know the story, Delilah and all that. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon their god. And to rejoice, for they said, our God hath delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand. They gathered together. Verse 24, and when the people saw him, they praised their God. And they said, our God hath delivered into our hands our enemy and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. And it came to pass, when their hearts were merry, that they said, call for Samson. See, that's all the world has ever wanted to do, is make light of us. They want to cripple us. steal our power, find our vulnerabilities and our weakness, move in for the kill, and then laugh at us. Oh God, help me. Came to pass when their hearts were merry, they said, call for Samson. Several years ago, there was an evangelist that was well, and if I called his name, some of you would recognize it, would remember it. But I'm not going to call his name because I'm not going to humiliate. He ended up backslid, alcoholic, well known. And he would go to the bar, no money, but they would give him shots of whiskey if he would preach to them. How low can you go? How shambled can you be? Y'all are just looking at me like, I'm going to get out of this building. Let's get him to make sport for us. Show us how you speak in tongues. Show us what a holy roller is. Mess with me, I'll get down and roll around on the floor this morning. I said, if you mess with me. That he made, and they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport, and they set him between the pillars. Mistake. They put him between something that he could deal with. Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them. Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there, and there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made them sport. Do you see that? I'm talking about Samson and the church. I'm talking about the parallel. Then Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. He prayed, strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. The early part of chapter 16 in verse number 28, he said, remember me this once. Father, we've prayed already, but I don't want to go beyond what I'm supposed to go. And I don't want to come short of what I need to do. I feel a trembling in my heart, and I ask you to move in the name of Jesus. God puts certain people, biblical examples, before us to serve as a warning to us. He does not put everything rosy and cheek and looking good. He gives us Lot. And the lesson, when you read one of these people, what lesson should I learn? When I read about Lot, I learn that I don't need to backslide and live where I don't need to live. On and on it goes. He puts these people before us as a warning to alert us. You hear me? To alert us that there's a limit to opportunities. There's not an unlimited pathway of forgiveness. There is a land that you can cross over. Am I preaching to people? There's a line that you can willfully, I don't believe no one incidentally crosses that line. I believe it's a debate, a wrestling match, and you lose the dread of crossing that line. And you begin to entertain the idea that I can do what I want to do. And you don't know it. But when you cross that line, there's no return. There's no return. When you cross that line, you have sealed your fate. But there's a callousness in the church world. I don't mean among the world outside. There's a callousness in the church world concerning that very issue. We've lost sight of the idea that grace has a limitation to it. So these people are put in our pathway to present to us opportunities to get right. God is providing some people in this auditorium this morning an opportunity to get right with Him. Now, I'm not going to tell you, and I'm not going to hint. I'm not going to, so don't twist my words around. I'm not going to tell you that if you don't take advantage of that opportunity, you've crossed the line. I'm not going to do that. It may be. It may be. I'm not going to say it's not or it is. But God, am I talking to you? Is in the business this morning in this church, just like He is many other churches. We don't come together to count people. We don't come together to entertain. We're on a mission for God Almighty. We are a harvesting machine. We're in the field of harvest. And you come to church today, you thought out of honor to somebody, and that's good. But what you really have not realized, you came to church today because there's a God that sits upon the throne that can manipulate your heart to a degree. Samson squandered his opportunities. He could conquer 1,000 Philistines at one time. He could take the gates of the city and go, some scholars say, 40 miles. He was awesome. People debate, was he muscular or was he... I don't have no clue about all that. But God gave him opportunity after opportunity to get his slate clean. He could conquer the flint. He could conquer all that was before him. But there was one that Samson could not conquer. Could not. And that was Samson. He could conquer everything in his pathway. He could lay his head in the lap of Delilah, going to Timnath. He could meet a bride, he was just a ladies' man. But there was one thing, the passion. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. You can conquer this, that, and the other, but you cannot conquer sin. You cannot conquer sin. I don't care how strong you are, how intelligent you are, how intellectually fit you are, you cannot conquer sin. If you could conquer sin, Jesus died in vain. But the only way sin will ever be subdued in your life is when the King of Glory walks in and drives hell out your back door. Glory to God, hallelujah. Am I talking to anybody? What can wash away my sin? Nothing. But the blood. He couldn't conquer. He meant to do well. I believe he had a desire to do right. Let me tell you, oh dear Jesus, let me tell you something. Let's get the record clear. I'm not going to debate it after church. I'm not going to get in a huddle with you. But I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. As long as there's breath in your body, as long as there's breath in your lungs, you will have a debate. You will have a conflict between your spirit and your flesh. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I don't care how pious you are. I don't care how smart you are. That flesh is going to rise up and challenge you. You're never going to get to a point. You're never going to get to a point of sanctification where you can lean back and say, none of this stuff bothers me. The only time you're going to do that is when your body is here and your spirit's in heaven. Don't let me lie to you. Don't let me deceive you and tell you there's some kind of religion that you can get up on a cloud and you can flap your wings and fly around and say whoopee poopy. It ain't so. You're going to meet the devil every day of your life. You're going to meet trials and tribulations every day of your life. You're going to meet a lying spirit every day. You're going to meet the spirit that says you don't need to pay tithes. That's a lie. That's a lush shakolgamaka. So now he's bound. There's a process. Are y'all going to give me a little bit of time? His life is a picture of what a believer should not do. Flee fornication. Run. If you get a lying spirit, get it out of you. If you get a cheating spirit, you sit down with that auditor, that income tax, that whatever you call those guys, CPAs, and you try to figure out how you can lie to them and get out a few dollars. Is a few dollars worth a lie? Or a lie worth a few dollars? No. I got ill. I mean, I got very mildly ill. I guess ill comes in degrees. When the church gave us this, the house that we live in, and I had to file income tax, and, you know, this guy sitting down in Bellhaven at the Pitterton or something or whatever it is, and talking about tax, and I just asked him a simple question. It might have been when we were getting, I don't know. I just asked him a simple question about, you know, if I get thrown in a nursing home, who's going to get that property? He said, there you go, already wanting to try to finagle that. And I got really upset. You know, I was just wanting information. I was just wanting, you know, who's going to get the property. He's bound. How did you get here, Samson? Church, how did you get here? I'm not talking about a local church only. I'm talking about a congregation, a denomination. I'm talking about the church. How did you end up in the mess that you're in? More worried about ceremonial things than you are about the souls of men. Hello, church. He's bound. He's blind. And he's being mocked. And there's something left that he has. He don't have this, that, or the other, but he's got one thing. He's got memory. Call to remembrance the former days in which you were illuminated. He's got time. He's conquered. He didn't conquer himself. He got conquered. That's the worst kind of conquering in the world. It's when some habit conquers you. Some power conquers you. Some pornography conquers you. When some force comes in and take and just rules over you. That's the worst. He's conquered. He's blind. He's bound. But he's got memory. He's just walking around there like a mule, you know, grinding. And he starts thinking, you know, I was on the road to Timnath. I meant well. And a lion roared. A young lion. It wasn't an old snaggletooth one. Roared at me. He's remembering. He's remembering. Can I paraphrase? He didn't say, well, I called for prayer on that 900 line or something. No, sirree, when that lion roared, God roared. Shashabakaya. I rent that lion in two. He's thinking about that. And then he looks on the negative side. How did I end up here? I'll tell you how you ended up there, Mr. Sampson. You had no control over yourself. I'll probably come back tonight and finish this. So he puts his arms, he gets a lad to lead him to the pillars of the house. He puts his arms around the pillars, and his memory is thinking, calculating. There was a time I could have done this. There was a time this would have been no challenge to me, but I'm hamstrung now. He puts his arms around those pillars. And he cries out, Lord, remember me just this once. He's not asking for 49 more opportunities. He's dead serious. He knows his opportunities are gone. This is his final outlay. This is his final opportunity. He'll never have another tomorrow. It's over with. It's written and sealed in cement. Remember me this once. And it's like God said, I got you. I got you. And strength came. Ability came. Supernatural power came. And he pulled mightily upon the pillars of the house. What does that say to you about the church? We're at that point right now. Lord, we've lost our vision. We've lost our eyes. We're blind. We're bound. Tradition has got us. We got this, that, and the other. But if you'll just remember us one more time, we won't be coming back. And see, that's probably all we got. That's all God is waiting for right now, is for a church to get before him and say, we've messed up. We've squandered our opportunity. We've flirted around with the world. We've lost the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Nobody's delivered in our church. We talk about it, but don't do it. We dream about it, but it don't happen. Something's gone wrong. Something's gone wrong. Just give me the pillars of the house. Put my arms around them. I'll pull the junk pile down. Hallelujah to God. Mightily. Oh, y'all going, remember me this once. I'm not asking for a lot of times, more times. You've remembered me so many times. That's what he's saying. When I didn't deserve it, you pulled me out of the mess I was in. You don't ever remember, at least right now, I don't remember Samson ever going to prayer. He was not a prayer warrior. He just leaned and depended upon the anointing of the Holy Ghost. That tells me if they'd have gone to prayer, he'd have had enough understanding and insight that he could have dealt with all of his issues. But he had memory. And God wants us to remember. When God wants us to remember, see, there are some things that God remembers. In chapter 6 of Genesis, God remembered Noah. There's my man in the... Don't say he was there every day. It's not all at once, because there's nothing all at once with God. But God said it's time to deal. And when God wanted to tell us about coziness with the world, the shortest sermon in the Bible... is Luke 17:32. Remember Lot's wife. He's talking to Christians. He's talking to people that will love to be in the world more. God help people that would rather be at the Kentucky Derby than in church, wherever that, or would rather be in the NBA playoffs than in church, or would rather be down at the waterfront strolling than be in church. Do you hear what I'm saying? God help a generation of people that would rather be anywhere than to be in church. Church is not a side product. Church is not a byproduct. Your life is not a pile with sections in it. This is my job. That's the big wedge. This is my recreation. That's the next big wedge. And somewhere down in the line, there's one little sliver that says church. Y'all get mad with me if you want to. God help a people whose church is just a byproduct. Just no commitment. I was glad, David said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. How beautiful upon Mount Zion are the feet of those that publish good news. I get my joy in the house of God. I'm content in the house of God. I walk in the doors and something envelops me in the house of God. There ain't no place on this earth like the house of God. When God spoke to young, I'm closing. When God spoke to young people, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Young people, before you get twisted in the ways of the world, you need to get in the kingdom of God. You are not a match for the devil. You are not a match for the dope pushers. You're not a match for the people that try to waylay you. Your only safety is in the house of God. With a good pastor, good church people, good congregation that will envelop you. Amen. When Jesus spoke to the man in hell. Son, remember in thy lifetime you had good things. And Lazarus had nothing. A thief on the cross, dying. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Listen, I'm shutting. Let me remind you of two or three things here. Ephesians 4:19. Speaks of being past feeling. Moving beyond a point where anything touches your emotions. Do you understand that? Who being past feeling. Talks about lasciviousness. Unbridled passion. But that past feeling. Anybody, I know you go in the garden time of the year, you get calluses on your hand, blisters on your hand. That's feeling. But by the time the garden season is over with, those blisters have turned into a callus. You can take a straight pin and run in it and not. There's no feeling. It's past feeling. You can sit on church pews and pat your foot at the songs and clap your hands at the music and make comments about the music, whether they be good or bad. And you can have not one, oh, come on here, church. You can have not one bit of interest in the Word of God. I'm just going to tell it straight right now. There's people here this morning, you wouldn't walk across the street for preaching, but you would go down the riverbed for entertainment. Because here's the crux of it. Because conviction does not come to the degree in singing that it does in preaching. Now don't get mad at me. I didn't say conviction didn't come. It does not come with the degree. You have heard the things that I have ordained. Take them to your heart. Embrace them with your spirit. Make decisions as motivated by them, for I am the Lord and I change not. Would you raise your hand? Let me give you two more verses. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 2. Speaks of a seared conscience. Their conscience being seared with a hot iron. You can push God away and revolt against God to the point where you can sit there and clip your fingernails and never be moved. People around you would think, well, wonder what's going on. You can literally move beyond ever being dealt with again, ever. You say that's threatening. No, that's not threatening. That's a choice you have. At one of our camp meetings, open air meeting. There was a crowd under the structure, and there was cars around the structure. And there were some men sitting on the hood of a car. And they wasn't purposely being rowdy, but they were disrupting the service somewhat, contradicting the preacher. The altar call was given, and the preacher just refused to quit the altar call. He felt strong. There's somebody that this is your last chance. Now, when God ordains a preacher to say that, there's nothing more serious can be said. They laughed. They laughed at him. This true story. Somebody. They laughed at him. Finally, the minister went to the edge of the building to one of the men on the car hood and personally encouraged him to come and pray. The man laughed, not mean, not viciously, but he said, "No, I got no time for that stuff." The next morning, he had his corn picker going, and it got jammed up, whatever corn pickers do, and he went around to try to clear it up, and he got killed. 10 hours before, he could have got right with God. 10 hours later, he did not get right with God. Lasciviousness, seared conscience, past feeling. Amen. Proverbs 1:23 said, "Turn you at my rebuke, and I will pour my spirit on you." I hear in my mind, somebody say, "I didn't go to church to get scolded." If you think this is scolding you, you don't know. "I didn't go to church to get lectured." It ain't lecture, honey. There was a flood time, and the waters was rushing under the bridge, under this overpass. And there was a lady. She was in the process of being drowned. The townspeople, quickly as they could, got ropes and lined the bridge up, lined all the way up, and dropped the ropes down, and were crying out to the lady, "Grab a rope! Grab a rope!" It wasn't just one rope, it was a line of them. And because of the amount of the ropes that were dropped down, she was successful. She grabbed a hold of a rope. "Hold on! Don't turn loose, because if you turn loose, you'll drown." And they pulled her to the shore and got her saved. I'm saying to you, the choir has put ropes out. Sister Elizabeth put ropes out. Brother Jackie put ropes out. The whole service has been, we've been putting ropes out. We've been putting ropes out. And I close up now by saying to somebody, grab a hold of a rope. Let us pull you to shore. Would you stand with me? Before I have any music or anything, I'm going to ask you just right where you are, as you are, and how you are. Brother Jethro, I relate with Samson. I've been there, and my life is in shambles. Anybody want to raise your hand? I'm not going to go to you, and I'm not going to. Yes, I see your hand. Anybody else? I wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. Too long the paths of sin I trod. Now I'm coming. Would anybody want to make that long journey down the aisle? Reach over without any clamor and say to your neighbor, "I'd like to offer a prayer for you."